Hey, everybody. Happy Thursday. Today is January 18th, 2018. Welcome to the Drop Set, episode 38 today. So what are we going to talk about? We got a couple things to talk about here. I got a couple of news items to cover, and then we'll cut right to it. I'm doing this live on Instagram as well, so if you're watching, hey, thanks. I appreciate it. So it's been an eventful week. In that, there's been snow, et cetera, here in Knoxville. We got snowed in. Anything more than a half inch of snow is pretty much going to shut the city down. So missed a workout yesterday because I got snowed in. The wife's a teacher. They've been off school. They had Martin Luther King Jr. Day on Monday and then snow day Tuesday and Wednesday. And then today was a 2-hour delay. So it's been like that around here. Yesterday, actually, we had a little episode. Our old dog had an infection on her paw, and so we had to take her in to the vet, and it was a little scary just because she was flopping around like a fish. Like, she couldn't put any weight on her front right arm, and like every time she would fall down, she'd smack her head on the ground, so it was no good. But she got a couple of injections, an antibacterial and an NSAID, and she's doing better today. So at any rate, that's what's been eventful here. I've just been trying to keep my head above water for the most part. So I commented to somebody that a lot of people have apparently made their New Year's resolution to give up on their goals. I've had a handful of clients quit this week, which, it's all for various reasons. And, it's like, traveling a bunch for work, sick family members, moving, deployment, and all things like that. And it's just, that all kind of happens at once. And I'm sitting here like, oh, God. But anyway, it's all good. So what else has been going on? I put up a blog post yesterday. I need to do something with the website because I'm not happy with how it looks. Like, overall, it looks great. But when I put up a blog post, it's like, it's not on the main page. So if you go to 5starphysique.com and you click over to blog, you will see it there. And what I did is basically wrote out in blog form a video that I did recently on stuff to put in your gym bag. So it's all written out there so you don't have to watch the video. I did embed the video on that page as well. But just kind of walking through my gym bag, everything that's in it. And I put in Amazon links for all the products in there as well. So if you're like, hey, I need to get me some of those, you can just click and then, carry on over and get your stuff there. So that's pretty much, I think, as far as new stuff goes, that's about it. Oh, I did, as you may be able to see here, Instagram, I will show you. Hold on. Look at that. I have blinds on my window now. Got some Roman shades here. So I'm not incapacitated by sunlight while I'm doing the podcast now. So, yay. that's a good thing. So, Arthur, how you doing, sir? Good to see you. Glad to see you haven't disappeared. So I got a couple things to talk about here. This week, I got a couple of topics. One of them came via a comment on an Instagram post that I had, and I can't remember who it was that made it. I should have checked that out before I started this, but somebody was asking for my opinion on Arthur Jones HIIT training, and so I wanted to talk about that specifically, but also just generally some of the concepts behind high-intensity training, not necessarily high-intensity interval training. High-intensity training, so high-intensity strength training, resistance training, not cardio. So we will talk about that. And then I also wanted to talk about something that is a really, really big kind of elephant in the room for a lot of bodybuilding. We've had the conversation before about drugs, which is a big thing to talk about. And the other one that is kind of, partly kind of plays hand-in-hand with that, but it's also its own separate thing, and that's just genetics in bodybuilding. So we need to talk about that and figure out how important is it, how much of it can you overcome, how much of your genetics are responsible for things. So so let's jump right into it here. Just a quick heads up on everything. So if you're watching this on Instagram, thanks. If you're listening to this, you can follow me on Instagram. It is @Darren_Star. Hold on, let me spell it for you. @Darin_Star. The website's 5starphysique.com. You can find me on facebook.com/5starphysique. Pinterest, you can search 5starphysique. YouTube, 5starphysique. Whew. What did I miss? I'm sure it's something. Oh, if you're listening to this podcast, Thank you, first of all. Always appreciated. Check it out on if you're listening via iTunes, check it out there. Leave a review. Leave a star rating for me. I would really appreciate that as well. That's how people find this stuff. Well, they listen to me, and, I talk their ear off. It's in my signature, so I just try and blast it out as much as possible. But if somebody's just searching for a bodybuilding podcast, the way they're going to find it is if there's something that is highly rated and has a lot of listens on iTunes. So if you can give me a rating there, I would appreciate it. Unless you're going to give me a low rating, in which case, hold off and just email me and tell me what to fix, and I'll do it. So let's talk about Arthur Jones. So Arthur Jones is old school dude. So he was the founder of Nautilus, I believe. I will spare you the full biography because A, nobody cares, and B, go to A. So that's pretty much the end of that discussion. But he is somebody with some credibility in the industry. My research before this is lacking. I don't know if he's still alive or not. So that tells you how thoroughly I have looked into this. But the concepts behind his training philosophy, I'm very familiar with this. So when I lived in Asheville, when I was first kind of, I just moved in, and I just moved to Asheville, across the country from Oregon. And I was looking around. I'm like, I need a place to train people. So this was before I was working online. So I'm going around and I'm looking at places, and I'm like, trying to see, who's who, what's what places are hot and happening. Are there places that have good arrangements for trainers? And eventually I found a place that was great. In the meantime, I found this one place, and I won't give them a plug because the guy was a total jackass when I walked in the door. I'm like, hey, I'm a trainer in town. Just wondering if you guys are looking for, any trainers on staff. And I remember very distinctly, he's like, are you familiar with Arthur Jones? I'm like, I don't know him. I've heard of him, but... And he said, well, go read one of his books and come back to me. I mean, he was just a total jerk. So anyway, what they specialized in that facility was HIIT training. And so I will make the distinction here, and then I will give up and I will stop repeating it throughout the rest of the podcast. When I talk about HIIT training, that is HIIT. It is not HIIT. So this is not high intensity interval training. This is not cardio that we are talking about. This is high intensity training, which is lifting that we are talking about here. So high intensity training. What does that mean? Well, it can mean a lot of things. I have my own definition of it, and really, the way that I qualify high intensity training is by looking at somebody's face. And if you can convince me with your face that you're dying, I'm going to say, that's some good intensity. I like that. Now, that's not terribly quantifiable. It's not something that you can run through an equation and spit out an affirmative or a negative as far as, are we in the high intensity zone? It's more of like a gut feeling. But, I'll know it when I see it. That's my kind of thing. So Arthur Jones, what he had, his general philosophy was one of... Brian on Instagram, thank you, says Arthur Jones been dead for about 10 years. I like to be up on my current events. So, it was only 10 years ago. You don't expect me to know everything, do you? Thank you, Mr. Fact Checker. Much appreciated. I'm hoping that you had to look that up and that you didn't just know off the top of your head. Oh, yeah, he died on, July, whatever. His basic philosophy for training was... train every other day, total body workouts, low volume, everything to failure. That's high intensity for sure. So I'm looking at an article here on T Nation. People will often ask me, what's a good website for bodybuilding related stuff? And they'll be like, what do you think about bodybuilding.com? Like, it's a crapshoot because that's not a monolithic entity. There are all kinds of people who write for that website, just like there are for this one as well. Typically, you can assume that stuff on bodybuilding.com is going to be a little more beginner, kind of lowest common denominator stuff, or you get the eggheads who show up and they're just like, these studies support that blah, 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 blah. And, if you know me, that I'm not about bro science, but I'm also not about pure clinical research either. There has to be a middle ground where we can actually take some of that clinical stuff, but we have to figure out how to apply it to the real world as well. What's practical. So bodybuilding.com, I don't find a lot of useful content on that site. T Nation, I find to be much more relevant and practical, but they still have their fair share of duds. A lot of authors are just kind of like, what are you guys talking about? But generally, the content there is a few notches higher, I would say. So I'm looking at a couple of random workouts here. Well, not random, but a couple of Arthur Jones-styled workouts here. Bear with me here as I kind of spell these out. So this is all one session, and I think, you know, the expectation was that this session lasts about an hour and 20 minutes or so. So it goes from leg extensions to a leg press or a squat straight into a calf raise. From there, we do lateral raises, chin-ups, overhead press, barbell row, dumbbell tricep extension, bicep curl, barbell curl, and then a wrist curl. So that's 10 exercises, one workout, hitting pretty much everything except there's no chest in there. So, but everything else is getting hit. So that's a fairly exhausting workout. Also, when you consider, I think earlier in the article they had it spelled out I got that confused. I was looking up a couple things, but another article that I found had it spelled out. You're looking at like two sets of these things for the most part. So, maybe three on some of them. So pretty brutal. And especially like, you know, these sets, especially the last ones in these are kind of considered, you know, to the death. Like, you know, maybe the target's 15 reps, and if you can get 15, first of all, kudos, but that doesn't mean you're done, you know. You go until you're done. The number is just there as a very, very soft guideline. Another workout, so these are kind of like A-B workouts. So the other one would be starting off with a leg curl as opposed to an extension, a Romanian deadlift, a pullover, a reverse fly, bench press, a shrug, dip, a hammer curl, a side bend, a weighted side bend for the obliques. So now you know it's old school. And then an abdominal crunch. So that's, again, 10 exercises. Total body. This one, I think, pretty much hits everything. It's not really a whole lot of back. The pullover is certainly a little bit of back. You're getting some rear delt in there. The shrug is traps, but I typically will throw shrugs more on shoulder day than with back day. Clearly, and this one, we've got a couple of, you know, we've got dips, we've got bench, we've got a pullover, so it's a little bit more chest emphasis. The first one, certainly, we had chin-ups, we had barbell rows, so a little bit more back emphasis there. So I can see what he's doing here. I mean, the exercise selection is fine. Conceptually, there's nothing wrong with this. And I went to bed thinking of, like, what is the perfect analogy for this? And I think I found it. So bear with me here. You're hearing the maiden voyage of this analogy, and now I may use it a whole lot going on from here. So let's say you are a painter, and you are tasked with painting a, not necessarily photorealistic, but a pretty darn realistic portrait of somebody. So you go about it, and, you know, you maybe, you know, you're not super experienced. So you go at it, and you take a week on this portrait. And, you know, it turns out it's like, okay, that's pretty good. All right, now somebody says, all right, now do it in 2 hours. You're like, whoa, okay, well, I've done it once, but let me see what I can do. And so you kind of rush through it. It's 2 hours, and, you know, ooh, boy, that doesn't look nearly as good as it did the first time. You know, I was rushed. I made a lot of mistakes. It doesn't look – the quality certainly isn't there. And somebody looks at that and says, okay, great. Now – do it in 5 minutes. You're like, whoa, screw you, buddy. I can't do it in 5 minutes. So you go and you do it, and it's just horrible. It's a piece of crap. It looks like a kindergartner did it, and it's just, you know, you're like, let me just throw that away. That's going to disappear. Nobody's ever going to see that. So strangely enough, that is how that can be applied to training as well. So if you give somebody all the time in the world to go through a workout, they will do it, and it can be effective. Now, when you ask them to, and, you know, clearly there's time ranges in here that are going to be a little bit different. So, it may work to say, you know, we're going to try and reach exhaustion with a muscle group. So you get 3 hours. Can you reach exhaustion with a muscle group? I think most anybody probably could. Now, and this is where we kind of transition from being a beginning lifter into a little bit more intermediate range. Now we say, okay, you have to absolutely, totally, and thoroughly exhaust a muscle group in an hour. Can you do it? Whew, okay. Yeah, I think I can. Think back to, you know, your first few months in the gym. You know, you're kind of over the beginning stages where you're kind of feeling things out. You know where everything is. You're starting to develop the mind-muscle connection a little bit more, focusing more on detail. You know you're doing things pretty much right, but, you know, we're never really perfect on stuff, so you're always trying to make things a little bit better. But an hour, man, boy, I'd like to get an extra 15 or 20 minutes just to make sure I can finish things off. And, you know, that'd make me feel a lot better. Now, can you thoroughly and totally exhaust a muscle group in 30 minutes? That is tough. That is really tough. And what it comes down to, much like with painting in the previous analogy, is skill. Trying to complete a painting in a shorter amount of time or thoroughly exhaust a muscle group in a shorter amount of time is all about skill. So that is where this Arthur Jones style of training falls apart completely, simply because the unspoken caveat to all of this is it only works if your skill at lifting is extremely advanced. I could go through this workout right now and do a pretty good job of it and feel like, you know, okay, whew, yeah, that was good. But I think back to, you know, somebody who's maybe just getting started and they go through this, they're hitting all the muscle groups. I mean, first of all, one of two things is going to happen. Their body's just going to break, because they aren't, you know, developed or conditioned enough to be able to do this and keep up with the pace of it. Or, if they're in kind of that really, really large gray zone where the mind muscle connection is there, but it's not super fine tuned, you're not going to be able to really hit, any muscle group here with enough volume to really force it to grow. You know, if you're hitting something with six sets, you know, it's just like, it's really hard to fully exhaust something, and it comes down to skill and your ability to do that. So especially looking at this exercise selection, well, let's say your skill at a Romanian deadlift is like, passable. Well, it's one of two exercises you get for your legs. You know, I mean, clearly, if you're a pro when it comes to an RDL, great. If you're not, you're kind of screwed. You know, I mean, and clearly, one thing that this does is it's kind of a sink or swim approach. You know, you're either going to die, or you're going to figure out how to do it and then stick with it. I find it to be something that is really suitable for a small subset of the population. And maybe that's who he designed it for. I mean, there's stories in here about him working with old school bodybuilders in the 70s, but then he also, there was a note where he said, you know, this is a workout where I could take anybody, and, you know, ideally they'd be about 25 years old. They have, you know, no prior lifting experience, and, you know, this is how we turn them into Mr. America. Like, are you smoking the peyote there, brother? Because that's not how that works. And just to think that you can formulaically throw something together that's going to universally apply to anybody that falls within your demographic is preposterous. But anyway, he's Arthur Jones, and I'm Darren Starr, so what do I know? Arthur, he says on Instagram, Milos Sarchev, I do know him. Yes, not personally. I know of him. Yeah, his style of training is pretty crazy. He picks a muscle group, 5 to 7 exercises, and hits the circuit. Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, you know, Milos, you know, one thing that I remember about him is, and this is not to necessarily disparage him anyway, because, hey, we've all made mistakes, but I remember reading an article about pre-contest nutrition and dieting from him, and this was something that he wrote while he was in prison. So, and again, we've all made mistakes. That was one thing that I remember from it. But what his theory wasn't, it's always good to have theories, but again, there's theories, and then there's, like, you know, can you realistically apply this? So his theory was, how do you, you know, let's figure out, you know, how many calories you need per hour, just based on your metabolic rate and your activity, etc., and then you're going to eat every hour, something like that. So I'm like, wait a second, are you kidding me? Is this a joke? Is this something that anybody's actually supposed to be able to do? So again, we're trying to mix the clinical with the bro science and kind of meet in the middle somewhere. That's the space that we're trying to occupy here. So high intensity training, it's great in practice, but try one of these workouts and see what you do. And, you know, first of all, we need to qualify what makes a good workout. So, and this is a conversation that I have with new clients all the time, especially people where, you know, they've been lifting, but they've been maybe doing, you know, as much cardio as they have lifting. They've got a lot of development that they can still achieve, you know. What qualifies as a good workout? And for a lot of people, it's like, how exhausted am I afterwards? How much did I sweat? I'm like, no, 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 no. That's how you define a good cardio session. A good workout is about pump, muscular fatigue, and reaching contractile failure. Those are the main things that we're looking for here. So can you go through one of these 10 exercise workouts? Again, if you just search for Arthur Jones workout on Google, you'll find all kinds of examples here. But leg extension, squat, calf raise, lateral raise, chin-up, overhead press, barbell row, dumbbell extension for tricep, barbell curl, wrist curl. Do that, and you know, you can search and find the protocols as well, because some of these things, like the squat, is like one set of 20, basically. So just keep in mind, you get one set. It's got to be as heavy as you can go, as many reps as you can go. That's it. So, and that's after you've done leg extensions as a pre-exhaust as well. So, Dean on Instagram says, I wouldn't waste my time on it. I'd rather just get on the Stairmaster if I wanted to keep moving like that. Yeah, and I mean, part of it is this is a totally unappealing workout, but if you are in that, you know, really, really advanced classification where your mind-muscle connection is awesome, you know, you can absolutely get everything out of every rep, this could totally be for you. It doesn't mean it's going to be appealing at all. And part of this for me is, you know, I'm not one of those guys that is of the whatever it takes mentality. I'm like, well, you know, whatever it takes, so long as, you know, I don't have to do X, Y, and Z. Like, I still need a little bit of quality of life. I would still like to eat some carbs. I would like to be able to train in a style that is as far apart from CrossFit as it can possibly be. Those are my red lines. And if I have to cross any of those, I'm like, you know what? This doesn't feel like bodybuilding anymore, or at least not a version of it that I enjoy. So, some people are way more hardcore than I am, though, and are more than willing to do whatever it takes, literally. So if you find yourself in that camp, give this a shot and then see how it feels as far as being an effective workout. So to be clear, you will be exhausted after you do this. Even if you know, your execution is fair to middling at this, you'll still be exhausted. It would be a good way to get a good overall pump, just because, you know, you're pushing, you're pulling, you're doing legs, you're doing arms, you're doing back all at once. So you're going to feel a little swollen for sure. But are you really exhausting anything? Are you really doing enough work to force your body to grow? That's the big thing. So take that into consideration. Give it a shot. And, if anybody has any feedback on that and would like to share their experiences, post it online and tag me in it, because I would like to hear your thoughts. This doesn't just have to be a one-way conversation. I mean, as much as I like getting on this microphone and just delivering a lecture, I'd certainly like to have a conversation about things too. So dramatic pause for a quick station break. I'm just kidding. That was my Monster Zero. So let's switch gears. So we've spoken ill of the dead long enough here. Sorry, Arthur Jones, rest in peace. I don't mean to disparage your life's work. Just simply say that, you know, it might not be for everybody. So let's talk about genetics and bodybuilding, because this is a really, really big topic. And a lot of this comes down to, this is a very personal thing for a lot of people, but they may not realize it, because I mean, clearly, you know, genetics make up who you are, but a lot of us, you know, very common in bodybuilding here. So let's talk about some things that are, you know, not quite taboo, but things that always kind of lay under the surface here. So you can see, if you're watching on Instagram here, I'm like adjusting myself, getting closer to the microphone here. So we're gonna get down and dirty and talk some stuff here. So social media, the one thing that it encourages everybody to do is to play the comparison game. So you're always looking at, you know, this dude, this woman, and comparing yourself and being like, well, you know, they're bigger than I am. They're leaner than I am. And, you know, a lot of this just kind of feeds this, you know, this self-defeating mentality. Am I guilty of that? Yeah, I am. You better believe it. I'm very guilty of that. So what you've got to do is, first of all, not play that comparison game, because it's destructive. But also, the reason why is because you can't play it fairly unless you've walked a mile in the other person's shoes. So what does this have to do with genetics? Well, a lot of people who look amazing will say, you know, this is what hard work does. And I'm like, well, yeah, but it helps to have great genetics too. Or, a lot of people will look at somebody and they'll you know, be like, well, I'll never look like that. But, you know, I'm sure it's just all genetics. I'm like, well, maybe, but don't discount that they probably work their ass off too. So there's a middle ground there. And as usual, I know it's really easy to just mentally sort things out into black and white, but always the truth is somewhere in the middle. So those people that look great, they probably do have above average genetics, and they probably do also work hard. You can kind of assume that for the most part. So what I want to talk about is genetic predisposition and how this changes your approach to bodybuilding, or how it limits you or how it may set you apart. So I've identified, or, you know, let's be clear, I'm not doing any original research here. I have categorized, put together six items that I would say fall into the category of things that you can be, you know, positively or negatively predisposed to on a genetic side of things. So the first one would be your overall structure. So, and again, all of these things are things that you have really no ability to control whatsoever. You're born this way. There you go. So this is literally the dealer's handing out the cards. You flip them over. This is what you get. You can't trade in any cards. This is what you're stuck with. So your overall structure. So this this concerns everything from, you know, limb ratios. Like, do you have long legs, short legs? Is your femur longer than your lower leg? Vice versa. Do you have a long torso, short torso, really long arms, wide clavicle, narrow clavicle? Muscle belly insertions, you know, the traditional bicep insertion here, you know, does it insert here? Does it insert more like here? Does it fill all the way out to the elbow? You have no control over that. You can grow your biceps all day long, and it's not going to make a difference because they're going to grow up and out. They're not going to grow closer to the elbow. That's your insertion. That's where the muscle stops. So you can't change that whatsoever. The only thing you can change, You can change a muscle size. You can't change its shape because its shape is determined by where it originates and where it inserts. Now, that being said, by changing its size, its apparent shape may change a little bit. So there's a little bit of wiggle room in there. Dean on Instagram says, we call the genetically blessed ones the assholes of bodybuilding. Yeah, I make that comment quite a bit, actually. There's a word for those people, and that word is asshole. So overall structure is one. Number two, fat storage. So this is more like, you know, where do you tend to carry your fat? So one of the examples that I like to make here are, you know, you can have a, let's take the example of a woman bodybuilder or physique competitor who has to get really lean in order to be competitive on stage. And they start their pre-contest phase and boo, 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 I'm dropping pounds, and all the pounds I'm dropping right off the bat come from my face. Like, I lose all the fat in my face and it looks like I'm dead. I look like a skeleton, but yet I still got, like, you know, 14 millimeter pinches on my midsection, my quads and all this crap. So can you control that? No, you have no control over that at all. Your body's going to determine where the fat comes from. This kind of goes back to spot training as well. You know, the fat cells are not owned by the muscle around it. So if you've got fat in the midsection, you want to do abs all day long, doesn't effing matter. You're wasting your time. So where you tend to lose fat from first or last, you know, where you really hold on to it, where you put it on when you start going the other direction, is genetically predetermined. Now, to some extent, you know, your training and your ability to maintain a plan, like if you don't change your diet and you stop training, you may accumulate fat in different areas. That's a very real thing. But for the most part, you don't have a lot of control over that. Now, your tendency to carry body fat or to be naturally lean, that's typically the thing. So this comes down to body type, you know, endomorph, ectomorph. Are you somebody who's naturally lean or somebody who's naturally a little fluffy? Now, certainly you have control over where you sit, but your body has a certain place where, you know, when you're not being really aggressive as far as trying to bulk up or trying to lean out, your body has kind of a natural point where it's more comfortable. That natural point, you don't really have a lot of control over. So, you know, you've seen people that they get just absolutely shredded for shows, and then they start eating everything, and they lose a little bit of definition, but it's like, damn, you're still the leanest guy I've ever seen in my life. You know, again, that is an asshole of bodybuilding. So, Arthur on Instagram says, probably have some of the worst genetics, straight to the love handles. That's pretty common for guys, actually. So Dean seconds that. The lower back area, that's a big thing. Yeah, I would say, you know, if I was trying to pinch my lower back area right here, I'd probably need to get a different set of calipers, because I think the ones that I have right now don't go high enough. So that is a problem spot. So far we've talked about your overall structure, your fat storage, like where you hold on to it and where you lose it from first, and then also your tendency to be, you know, genetically lean or a little pudgy. I don't like that word pudgy. That sounds rude, but you know, your tendency to be more or less lean by default. Fourth would be your muscle fibers, fast twitch, slow twitch. They are what they are. You can't change them. So, you know, are you built more like a bodybuilder? Are you built more like a sprinter? Or are you built more like a marathon runner? You know, that's the hand you've been dealt. So some of those are going to respond better to training, some not so much. So that kind of ties into the next one, which is your overall responsiveness to training. You know, you'll get somebody who I've seen this on Instagram, et cetera. And again, we're not trying to play the comparison game here, but you can tell somebody who's like, I've been training for 6 months, and you look at them and you look at their before and after pictures and you're like, what the hell? 6 months? Looks like you've been training for 10 years. It's just like, that's not fair. It's genetics. Certainly there's hard work in there, but it's also not average to get that kind of a response in such a short amount of time. So nobody's selling you short on your hard work. What we're saying is that most people can put in a similar level of work and not achieve those kind of results. So if you are genetically predisposed to responding better to training, lucky you. But recognize that. And again, we're not trying to discount you and say, well, you've got it easy because, you know, clearly you're blah, 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 whatever. But it makes a difference. It really does. You get people that really respond to training, and some people who, you know, they have to push and pull and grind to see much of anything. And clearly some of that has to do with how long you've been at it. And also how well you are training also. So certainly you can find some people who have a better approach to their training. I'm trying really hard not to call out people by name, but I'm not going to. But you know, there are some people online, some women in particular, who you watch them train and you're like, how the hell do you put on any muscle? Because your form is just dog shit terrible. It's embarrassing. Like, what are you doing? This is awful. But you look great. So, you know, who am I to criticize? Well, I'm here to criticize because I don't want people imitating you thinking that's how it's done. That's why I'm here to criticize. So, that's why you've got to be careful about who you follow, what you try to learn from people, et cetera. So, you know, just... Anyway, I'm trying to be politically correct, not because I really care, but just because I don't really like calling people out by name over something that's, you know, trivial. So anyway, and the sixth one, and this is one that is kind of an overarching thing for the enhanced athlete, and that is your responsiveness to drugs as well. You'll find some people that really, really respond to drugs and some people that don't. That is, you know, the difference between top-level bodybuilders and top-level physique or classic physique guys. You look at some of those guys and you're like, wow, you're pretty big, but there is no way, nothing on earth that you could do to get up on an Olympia stage. There's nothing. There's a handful of guys that can, and those are the guys that put it all together. So they've got the work ethic. They've got genetically predisposed to responding well to training. They've got the right kind of muscle fibers. They respond well to drugs, all that stuff. So those are your six things. So when you think about trying to compare yourself against people and, you know, say, well, you know, trying to discount people, just think about all those things. These are all genetics. These are things that you have no control over. So you can, I've worked with people who absolutely bust their butts every day, day in, day out. And the rate of growth that they get is slow. And it's their genetics. And I will just ram my head against the wall like, boy, I'm sure there is something else that we can do here. And so I take apart their diet. I take apart their training. I look at their training videos. You know, I hire a private investigator to make sure they actually are going to the gym every day. I'm just kidding on that one. But, you know, I take people at their word. So if you say you're working out, I'm going to assume that you are. But some people, they have a really tough time responding. I mean, their body just responds slowly, which means the one thing that is not determined by your genetics that you have absolute and total control over, this is the big thing, is your work ethic. So you will get a lot of people who will say, you know, I am not the most genetically gifted guy or gal in the world, but I will outwork anybody. And that is what it takes. So when you get somebody who is a very genetically gifted individual and they have that same mindset and that same work ethic, that's how you build a champion. So, and that's, you know, not to discount anybody else. Again, these are simply facts. You compete at a high level of bodybuilding. You are not going to be competitive at the top level unless you do have some level of a genetic gift. That's all there is to it. Work ethic will help you, you know, it can help you be competitive at the lower level, like local regional shows. You can win a local or regional show. And then when you get to a national stage, you're going to see like, oh shit. These guys here are monsters, or these ladies are cut. What the hell? And it's tough. I mean, that's where you kind of get to see, you know, you go into a bigger fishbowl at that point. You graduate from, you know, the fishbowl to the bathtub. And then you go to the pro stage, and then you graduate from the bathtub to the swimming pool or the ocean. So, things get scary real quick. And then you realize where you sit on that genetic pecking order. So, how much does all of this matter? That's another question that's worth looking at. I would argue to say not much, because for me, and what I encourage other people to think about, is that bodybuilding is very much a personal journey. So clearly the competitive aspect of it is what draws a lot of us to it, it's what draws a lot of people to it. But I think at its heart, it really needs to be more about personal. You know, the old memes that say, oh, it's me versus me. And I know a lot of people who say that and don't believe it. Like, they say it because they're trying to convince themselves of that. But ultimately, they're like, if I don't get top five, I'm going to cut a bitch. And that's all there is to it. Well, wait, what happened to me versus me? So you've really got to take that to heart. I mean, you know, it really needs to be a very personal thing. So stop playing the comparison game. It's not worth it. There's nothing valuable that comes out of it. You're not going to improve yourself in any way coming out of that. What you're going to do is get depressed. It's going to get inside your head, and then it's going to snowball and spiral out of control from there. So it's not a good place to be. So, at any rate, I think that's about all I got to say on the matter. So I'm looking at the clock here. I'm like, damn, this podcast was a little on the short side, but I think that's okay, right? Any complaints? No? Okay. Nobody complained in 1 second, so I guess that means no complaints. So, in summary, it isn't all just hard work if you look amazing, and enough to make, you know, half of Instagram envy you. There's some genetics in there as well. Also, if somebody looks amazing, don't discount them and say it's all genetics, because they are certainly working hard as well. Dean has a comment. He says, let's hear about you competing soon. I don't know what you're talking about, man. I got no clue. So I did make a post, I guess it was yesterday, that, you know, I'm working on my posing a little bit, just because you never know. It's kind of like, you know, if you're a doomsday prepper, you've always got to keep the bunker stocked. So, you know, I'm just working on my posing just in case. No, I mean, if you've listened to this much, you know that I don't necessarily feel compelled to compete or anything like that. I know a lot of people, they say, I just fell in love with the stage. I'm like, no, I mean, I love being on stage, but not so much naked or close to it. Like, I like being on a stage as a performer. Like, that's why I'm in a band. That's why I've done community theater. So if I feel the need to get on stage, it's going to be that. And that reminds me, I've got band practice tonight. We're auditioning a new drummer for our band. So that's exciting. I hope it's exciting. I hope he's good. I hope he likes us. I hope he's not so good he doesn't like us. Because we're pretty amateur. To be determined, well, I don't know. Here's the thing, Dean, and anybody else who cares, which might be one other person on the planet. there's a show in Knoxville every year. It's in August. If I'm doing a show, I'm not doing anything outside of my hometown just because I'm lazy. I'm lazy. I don't want to travel. I've done it before, and honestly, I just like staying close to home. I like sleeping in my own bed. That's all there is to it. So, although, I don't know if I want to sleep in my own bed with a spray tan. So I might need to reconsider that. But anyway, it's in August, so I've got a few months before it's time to start thinking about doing any kind of prep for that. But it's to be determined. You know, part of it is just at that point I will have been in a growth phase for close to a year. And the problem is I don't know if my legs are going to be where I need them to be. So I'm not going to do it and bring something that I think would be subpar. That's kind of where I'm at right now. So, I'm not going to do men's physique. It's only classic physique. And so if I can't get my legs up to the point where I think they'll be competitive and appropriate for classic physique, I'm going to wait a year and sit it out. So that's kind of where I'm at on that. So I'm hedging my bets, but the great thing about competing is you don't have to commit way ahead of time. So, there's nothing that says you have to. So, okay, that's it. I will spare you all the recap on where you can find me online since I went through all that earlier. And honestly, my throat's killing me right now, so I'm really happy to be kind of tying this up right now. At any rate, oh, yes, one other thing. I am aware, podcast listeners specifically, I am aware that this is coming out in mono. I don't know how to fix it. My microphone has run through an M audio device, a little two-channel microphone preamp, and the driver for that got knocked out in my latest update, so I can't get it pulled into my recording app as a stereo signal. So I got to fix that, but I've dispatched emails to their support, and they've been completely unhelpful. So we'll see. I'm continuing to work on it, but I'm aware of the problem. I will be fixing it as soon as I possibly can. So anyway, thank you all for listening. I really do appreciate it. Do go review, leave a rating for the podcast on iTunes. Just pull up iTunes, search for The Drop Set, leave your rating, leave a comment for me as well. I'd really appreciate that. Otherwise, everybody just have an awesome week, and everybody train hard, stay on your diets, follow your macros, all that good stuff. Be good people, and I'll check in with you next week.